moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound. So, it's very strikingly familiar language, those of us who are familiar with 2 Corinthians 3, as to what he says right here. Beginning in verse 27, he uses the remainder of this chapter to show that Jehovah will deliver them by overcoming and destroying Sennacherib. So in verse 27, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire." The name of the Lord cometh from afar, or from far, indicating here that it would be the name of the Lord that would destroy their enemies. It would not be Egypt. Any alliances they'd make with any other country would not count. It would not bring about this destruction, but it would be the Lord that would do it. The name of the Lord cometh from far. And here's how he's going to be when he comes, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. The Lord's going to have so much anger due to the fact that his people have been oppressed by this nation that the burden of his anger is going to be heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck. Now, reaching to the midst of the neck means that these people would be like somebody caught out in a stream, that the water came up right to the middle of the neck. And this phrase, I understand, the midst of the neck means really a division at this point. So that they would be scattered by this stream, but it's just about ready to drown them because it's right up to the midst of the neck. "To sift the nations with the sieve of vanity." And no doubt this army of the Assyrians was composed of many nations. It wasn't just one nation, but it was an alliance of many nations that Assyria had control over that made up this army. And so he would then sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And this word vanity means emptiness. So when he got through sifting them and treating them as though they were some kind of just particles of matter to be handled, it would be the sieve of vanity, and it would all be emptiness for them. They would have not accomplished any good thing for themselves. They would have actually lost the sieve of vanity. "And there should be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err." That is, God would so control these enemies, it would be like a bridle in their jaws or a bridle in the jaws of a horse, so that he could control them and cause them to err. That is, cause them not to follow the course that they would like to follow. They wanted to capture and subdue the city of Jerusalem, and they were not able to do so. They erred in their purpose and their course. And God did this by putting this bridle in their jaws and making them err. And so in verse 29, "Ye shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel." So he's showing their rejoicing, their ultimate victory, their ultimate sigh of relief as this army is defeated. And he's saying, you're going to have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept. And this holy solemnity really means a feast. And some seem to think that it'll be just like having a feast of the Passover. The feast of the Passover. "And gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel." So they'll be singing praises to the Lord as though when they come to worship the Lord. "And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones." And this is still depicting the way the Lord is going to treat these Assyrians. He's going to cause his voice to be heard, that is, his command or whatever he had to say or speak to cause their destruction. And you know, in one night, 185,000 of these people fell by the angels of the Lord. And shall show the lightning down of his arm, that is, the arm coming down or lighting down on them with his force, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of devouring fire, and with scattering and tempest and hailstones. As though they were in a violent storm, a storm that had lightning and it had wind and it had hailstones. And one of the writers goes to great effort to show how that they did have those great hailstones in that area of the country. One of the writers shows how that they had hailstones that would fall that were a half to a pound in weight. And anybody caught out in these hails would end up with broken arms and legs and actually killed. And they had to have shelter or they would not be successful in surviving the hailstorm. So this is a figure, of course, but it also could very likely have been a reality in that part of the country that people would understand as a reality. And through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. Now this Assyrian would be beaten down by the Lord. Here again, he reminds them, it's not going to be Egypt that's going to help you. It's going to be the Lord that's going to be the one who is successful in defeating your enemy. And this Assyrian shall be beaten down, which smote with a rod. Now actually, from the earlier prophecies in Isaiah, we see how that this army of the Assyrians was a rod that the Lord did use to punish his people with. He used them like a warrior would use an arrow, or like a woodsman would use an axe, or like a farmer would use a hoe. They were a weapon for him. So this Assyrian did smite with a rod, and in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. Now this is a difficult verse, but I think what he means here is, in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, the word grounded means appointed. So every place where this appointed staff, that is this Assyrian army, which was a staff that the Lord did appoint for a purpose, every place that this appointed staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, that is, it was the Lord's doings to cause them to be able to besiege Jerusalem like they did, and to put this punishment upon the people, it shall be with tabrets and harps. That is, it's going to ultimately be a time of rejoicing whenever the great siege is taken away. And in battles of shaking will he fight with it. That is, the Lord will take it away by having battles with them, what he called battles of shaking. And that's like this sifting them with the sieve. That's the battle of shaking. Will he fight with it? And certainly this did come to pass. The Lord was the one who removed it. He allowed it to come and he then caused it to be removed. So what folly it would be to think they could turn to Egypt for help when it was the Lord who put it there to start with. Now verse 33. Verse 33 is a difficult verse, but it also is a very informative verse. For Tophet is ordained of old. Now this word Tophet stands for a valley in the southeastern part of Jerusalem that was the seat of the idolatrous worship of the idol of Moloch, M-O-L-O-C-H. This Moloch was a terrible idol. As I understand it, it was a huge figure or image that would stand with his arms outstretched, and there would be a fire built all around it. And these idolatrous worshipers then would put their children on the arms of this idol and let them be sacrificed there in the flames in their worship to that idol. And one of the ways that they were able to drown out and to stand the cries that the children would give forth during this time would be to beat drums. And these drums that they beat were known as Toph, T-O-P-H. And it's thought by some that the name for the drums that they beat, the Toph, was the name then that they got for the valley called Tophet. And the word Tophet actually came to mean a place or a thing that is utterly despised and that is not to be tolerated. It really stood for this valley, but it was not. It was something not to be tolerated at all. And this valley, it was also called the Valley of Hinnom in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament it was called the Valley of Gehenna. And Gehenna, as you know, is a word in the New Testament that is also translated as hell, H-E-L-L. And the analogy to this place, which was an idol-worshipping center, the analogy to, of it being a place that was despised and was to be regarded as a very, very bad place is so great that the allusion is made to it, that word, as meaning the place where the wicked dead are going to go when they die. That's the way the word hell is used many times in the New Testament. This place was so despised and so abhorred until the people in Jerusalem for centuries had used it as a garbage dump. They dumped all of their refuse and waste here, and as a result, they kept a continual fire burning here. And because this fire burned continually, it is thought of as a place of torment, in which the torment would never cease to be because the fire is never quenched. They had to keep the fire burning because this garbage dump that they had would be so putrid and unable to be tolerated if they didn't keep the fire going, so I'm told. And so in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 28, Jesus makes the statement, He says, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And this word hell here is Gehenna, which is the valley of Hinnom, which is the valley where Moloch was worshipped, which is the garbage dump of Jerusalem, and which is also known in our verse as Tophet. Again, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, our Savior also uses that word in the same connection. Matthew 5, verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. And hell fire there is this word Gehenna. Again in Matthew 5, verses 29 and 30. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. There that word hell is Gehenna. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And again, the word Gehenna. So I just use those, and there are many passages in the New Testament that refer to that word. I use those to show you how strong the understanding was that this place, this Gehenna, this garbage dump that burned continually, was a place that was thought of, and figuratively, as where the soul would be destroyed in eternal hell fire. Even Isaiah, in the very last verse of Isaiah, says, And they shall go forth, this is Isaiah 66, verse 24, And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. The worm shall not die. That is, their flesh is going to continue to be putrefied and decay, and the maggots shall never stop eating it. And the fire shall not be quenched. That is, they'll never be completely consumed or burned up, because the fire will continually be burning. That's his description of it. And this is an allusion to this place of Gehenna now. Well, let's look and see what this verse is saying. For Tophet is ordained of old. In other words, Tophet's been there for a long time and its purpose has already been set. It's ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. Now the king here would no doubt be Hezekiah, who was the king of Jerusalem and the Jews at this time. For the king, that is, for the king's use it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. That is, it's going to have a good, large capacity. You know, as we were reading one time about the king of Babylon going into hell after all the wickedness he'd done, it was even enlarged for him. So this place here has been made deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. Now they had all the refuse ready to burn. It was fire and much wood that they piled up there. And the breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. Now brimstone was always referred to in the Bible as an unquenchable fire, looked upon as a hot fire that was not quenchable. It's really the burning of sulfur. So the breath of the Lord would be like a stream of brimstone, and it would kindle this fire. And so what he's really saying is the destruction of these Assyrians would be figuratively like taking them over to the garbage dump that belonged to the king that had been enlarged and made deeper and that was already in piles and ready to be burned. That's what the destruction of them would be like. That'd be the purpose of this place known as Tophet. So we see that this little verse then has a tremendous impact, a figurative meaning for us. And that the Lord did intend literal destruction, although he figuratively here describes it as being going to take place at the place called Gehenna. Gehenna is a word that's translated hell in the New Testament, and it simply means that garbage dump, and literally it would mean the habitation of the wicked dead. Now let us begin this 31st chapter. It's just 9 verses, and we may not have a chance to finish it, but if we have time, we will.